Welcome to GalacticConnection.com. We are committed to expanding perspectives, bringing forth cutting-edge information and education, and preparing and assisting the planet for the up-and-coming events associated with stepping out of this 3D matrix. We intend to connect minds and hearts around the globe in order to attain global unity and galactic acceptance. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you the most current topics in the news, as well as education, research, healing information, and out-of-this-world perspectives regarding a variety of topics. For example, you can look forward to discussions on global communities, governments, countries, planets, solar systems, ancient civilizations, and beyond, in addition to metaphysical individuals, angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, galactic brotherhoods, high councils, and ascended masters. Our guests are experts in these fields, and our GalacticConnection.com show promises to be very thought-provoking.
Let us be together, let us progress and triumph, let us gain energy and momentum. Lead us to clarity, feeling of unity, let there be peace, peace, peace and wonder.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexandra Menners of GalacticConnection.com, and I have a very special guest with me today. And I also have Julie Haskins hanging out in the background. Say hi, Julie.
Hello, hello, hello.
So we are here today. This is a very special kind of show today. We are going to be working with Astrid. She's a born psychic, guys. She's a medium and a channeler. But what really makes her different than all the rest is she's got this incredible analytical business side to her. Just super right on the money and very, very grounded in financial affairs. She's got this great background. She's French. She traveled all over the world. She worked with a variety of companies out of France. And she's been really... Astrid, would this be accurate in saying that because of all of the exposure to the rest of the world, you've been able to use that to expand your ability to really tap into these people that you do give readings to?
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say. And she really has a very strong dedication to getting people on their path. Let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience here. Astrid really kicks you in the butt. So if you've never called her for an incredibly brilliant reading, I would do so. So with that said, Astrid, I have some phenomenal questions that were actually downloaded to me. It kind of felt like somebody didn't want us to connect today. Did you? I don't know about you, but I had some technical difficulties getting on. And I believe it's because of the nature in which the questions that came through from Spirit. So, yeah, it was very interesting. But before I get into that, I kind of wanted to ask you, it looks like you've got this really interesting background. Now, how do you pronounce the name in your bio of the first company that you worked with in France?
Oh, God. Which one, darling?
I don't want to obliterate it, you know? Like... You have IBM FF and you have Atier?
Atier is a family, it's a family publishing company. It's a very old family business, and they're just really soulful, and they've been, you know, publishing workbooks for students all over France for decades. I got the chance to work for the CEO at the time, and you know, I gave her my ideas, and we ran with it and changed the system, changed the computerized and the client service system, which was related to stocks and logistics. So we had a great time together. Yeah.
That's great. I was reading that it's like the third most prolific publisher of educational materials, so I was pretty blown away. Now, what about the other one? It's a life insurance company?
Abbey V. Abbey V was bought by the English just at the time when I was there transitioning. And what happened with that baby is that I brought in, with a mentor of mine, she brought in the legal aspect to the business. She developed a whole legal side to the business, bringing in legal people to the insurance business. And what I did alongside her is I brought in all the accountants and expert accountants and financiers to the business. And me and a team of technicians would go and, you know, show business people how life insurance would benefit their businesses. And so we were very financially technical about it, and we were able to present it to boards and to higher aspects of France Financier, if you will. IBM, I was very young at that age. IBM, I came in. I always come in, you know, low-key, nobody knows who I am, and I kind of develop these ideas and bring it up to the CEOs and founders and whatnot, because that's who I relate to, frankly. That's who I can speak with ease with. And so it's always been low-key and bringing out ideas. And with IFF, this was the first company that actually introduced me to a new, like IBM was IBM in France. And in France, they developed the financial system, the financier, the insurance financial side of IBM in France. And I was one of the, you know, our group was pioneer.
God, that's terrific. Now, I thought you had told me before that you also worked in some sort of capacity with the United Nations.
Yes, the United. When I was two, I went to UNESCO school in France, which is basically the UN. You know, for side that, like, UNESCO has schools around the countries. And so I went to the UNESCO school in Paris. And later on, I was always tied to United Nations things. I was always abroad, and I always knew that I was a stranger abroad and that there were politics involved and businesses involved and, like, international politics and international, you know, geopolitics for businesses was always part of my background. So when I came to the States, serendipitously, I was invited to a United Nations Association event, and the president asked me to come on board, onto the board of Northern California, after which he decided to back out, and since I was at the time elected financial officer and second in command, if you will, I became president because he backed out, and then I went on to do four more years with a two-year term before me. So I spent 6 years doing presiding at the United Nations Association of Northern California.
Wow, God, that is, I'm so glad you've never gone into that much detail with me. So
I know, I've never gone into that much detail about my financial or business background with anyone, actually.
I want people to get the gist that you are so rock solid in your business capacities, your ability to see the scope of a business environment. You know, this is a very atypical way to be when you also have the gift that you have of being an incredible psychic and channeler. And, you know, I have to say, from my experience being around you, you know, it's fascinating to watch you, because you don't have to prep yourself. You don't have to breathe. You don't have to call everybody in. You don't have to get all like, okay, wait, guys, everybody be quiet. And I'm just curious if you could explain to everybody, you know, how do you receive your incoming information?
Well, first of all, I do think it's a practice of being in a certain state of consciousness. Like, from the day I can remember, I've always been known to, like, people. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought everybody was the same. I thought everybody thought the same way as I did. I thought everybody understood things or saw the same things as I did, until I was told differently. And then after being told differently, I was told how weird or how inappropriate or how sensitive or how witchy I was, you know. It was like the whole scam of, oh, you're different kind of thing.
Yeah, but look at the advantage of what you have now. You know,
well,
I mean,
now I understand it, but trust me, when I was like in business, you know, and you have a certain intellect, you have a certain background in education, and you don't understand why the world operates in a certain way, because you just don't understand, because in your, like in your right mind, you think there's so many other ways, better ways this can go, you
yeah.
know, why do we have to have people follow such stigmas and repeat such history and be, you know, I mean, sometimes I would think that people were damn right stupid, you know. But that's also part of the spiritual awareness, is that, all right, you can be aware of, you know, other beings being in the same room as you, but until you understand who you are and what this is all about, you've got to keep your mouth shut and just work it.
Well, you brought up a good point, which is this spiritual awareness, and, you know, there's this incredible infiltration of light just, you know, blazing and blasting
yes.
our planet. And I'm just curious, from your perspective as a medium and a channeler, how are you seeing this light penetrating the planet?
Well, from my point of experience, I first felt it before I understood it mentally. I, you know, like I said before, I've had like a tendency of seeing ghosts, and they became more and more prominent. They've become more and more assertive. Their messages are much clearer. The visions of themselves. I mean, I can be on the radio talking to someone who wants to know about a past brother, and that past brother will be outside my window full scale with the last clothes that he had on wearing before he died, kind of thing. You know, they're very, very present. And this goes for every interdimensional connection that we may have. The question between receiving that information or seeing it or feeling it or hearing it and you know, who gets it is a question, like I said, of practice, of being in that state, of allowing that state of awareness and living as much as possible in that state of consciousness, which isn't an easy feat in this 3D judgmental dimension.
That is so accurate. Well, I mean, Ned, how do you see this light impacting people when you're giving them readings? How are you seeing that as far as the way it's changing the people?
Now, the other aspect to what's going on is very scientific and very physical. There are, and I'm sure you can Google it or whatever, but there are a lot of gamma rays, what are known as gamma rays infiltrating our atmosphere. Right now, this has been going on for a while. I couldn't tell you when they started measuring this download, but basically our whole planetary system is being, you know, rained on by this gamma ray. Now, the gamma rays are higher rays, brain waves, if you will, or again, waves within which there are states of consciousnesses, right? These rays are everywhere, like they're coming onto our planet, they're penetrating matter, they're penetrating energy, who we are, our bodies, our minds, etc. So naturally speaking, everybody right now is being triggered by this, what we call spiritual awareness, which is only a lighter state of consciousness, a lighter state of awareness of who we are. And knowing that we can, and also with what everybody's called imagination, pure potentiality, etc., all this is being brought up to our level of possibility. Like pure potentiality is, you know, if we were to have a quota of it, we would have like 150 more percent of it than we had like 50 years ago. So pure potentiality in our reality is made more manifest. We can actually feel more manifestations happening than ever before. And
you know,
this is what we're experiencing now. And everybody's enlightened. You know, everybody's getting it. Everybody's seeing ghosts and and hearing spirits, and because they're all like becoming aware of another place of hearing, of being, of feeling, of like imagine expanding your five senses out in the ethers. This is what you get. This is the kind of communication and connections that you get.
And it's almost like, you know, we are really truly, when it puts it in a whole new realm when they say you're remembering who you are, because we're finally stepping out. We're actually, it's almost being thrust upon us that we're stepping out of that physical form. You know, we're going outside the physical form, and just like you said, we're seeing, we're hearing, we're feeling, we're, you know, how expansive we are.
Exactly. Well,
so how do you feel like, this is a question that just I would love to ask you, and that is, you know, we've had these golden ages or these world changes in our timeline in the past. You know, we've had these ancient times where there were, unfortunately, some catastrophic changes from one world age to another. How do you see those in comparison to this one?
It will flow with much more ease, but you have to be careful of what you align to, because your alignments will take you further down the road of where you're going now.
Good point. And how do you see, like, do you see any similarities in the way the people were feeling before the new age took a, you know, came into existence?
Well, I want to go mental here. We'll never know exactly how people felt when things happened. We can only re-edit the past, right?
True.
And I feel that the only thing that we do remember are the myths and the stories, and within those, the feelings that the stories bring forward. So there was an element of fear, but there was an element of grandeur and expectation. And I think that the mere fact of us finding today all these archaeological facts, you know, all these writings in the walls that we've been praying, like we've heard the myths and the legends, and some people have, you know, defined them as stories and ridiculed them for not ever having existed. And now we're finding out that they were actually not only sung and made into poetry, but they were actually written in stone. And this is our history. This is the story that we have built on. And we're again trying to put down in stone what we are living today, except that now we're going virtual, viral.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, this is an interesting question too. Do you think that, you know, supposedly that we've gone through five different world ages, or four different world ages, excuse me. And I'm just curious, like, what you're picking up on, you know, when we were going through the first world age, were we aware of this ultimate fifth golden age back way back then?
Okay, I am not, I don't study these things, and I'm not aware of written stories about where we came from. I only channel what comes to me.
That's all I'm asking you to do, just to see what
okay.
you pick up on.
Not
mental.
In terms of worlds, what I get is there were certain souls defined to come and bring their, let's call it, like you have worlds, let's say one dimension and another dimension, right? Well, one dimension had souls and the other dimension didn't yet.
Okay.
So one dimension said, oh, let's go and bring awareness to this dimension, you know, and let's bring in, because we're bringing in ourselves, we're going to bring in parts of ourselves, holographs of ourselves, interdimensional beings of ourselves. Like, we're going to try every which way to connect ourselves to this planetary system that we envision, okay? So they came in, and that's where, you know, you have stories of this planet blowing out another planet and beings that lived on this planet going to that other planet and fighting their way through a third planet. I mean, then you get history re-edited. But at one point, it's the all-seeing eye. It's the all-seeing it's the all-seeing observer. And at that level of observation, where anything and everything is possible, right, anything and everything is possible, then it's a question of what, if you want to bring it down to a 3D dimension, what holographic image would you like to bring down to this reality and connect with the reality of the observer so that both are served, both are served. And what we've been going through, like the moon nodes have been in retrograde. We're in a karmic planetary cycle, you know, and until that cycle gets over, we're clearing karmic energy. We're clearing the karmic energies of the Earth, of the planetary system that we belong to.
When is that cycle over, Astrid?
I'm sorry?
When is that cycle actually over with?
I can't remember. In like two or four years.
Three or four years. I had read 2017 myself, so I was just curious.
Okay, I really can't remember. I haven't done my homework. But yeah, it's between 2 and 4 years, I think.
Interesting.
And so what happens is that everybody right now is living to not only make a change and be part of a change, but also to report back to the observer and say, this is what's going on, do something about it, help. And this is why the chain of command, like to all those outer light beings, is being maintained within our reality. Like they are hearing, they have come down, and they are being part of this karmic clearing so that we can move on from here.
God, that's a beautiful way to see it. It brings up another concern of mine, which is how do you feel would be the best way for the light workers to cope with this compression of light, since there is such a massive karmic release and clearing going on?
Light workers should just stick to what they know best how to do in the love and in the joy that they're doing it with. That's it. They should trust. They should trust themselves. They should trust their outcome. And I hate to use the word should, because there's no shoulds, you know, do what you want. But for light workers, yeah, they feel compressed, but their light is very, very powerful right now. They've all had messages to go back within themselves, to find their own strengths, to find their own voices, to find their own vision, and then to start building from the inside out. I mean, this is like, you know, I'm certainly not the first one to say this.
Right.
And I hope it's been done by now. Like, everybody should be in their own power by now. And like, again, I said earlier, I can't remember where, but especially for those looking for a new job and not finding one, like things are in their way or they're having bad luck or whatever, it's ultimately because you are not in tune, you're not vibrating to your true self. And the first way to get in tune with your true self is to release, let go, enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter. Like, go play tennis, go on the golf course, go, you know, have a beer with a friend. Anything that will lead you to enjoying yourself in your, you know, as you are in the environment that you enjoy, will lead you to connect and attract those vibrations that will get you to your next life, your next step, definitely.
And so. We're really being met a lot more quickly, frequently. You know, it's all encompassing because there is so much light, you know, entering our realm, don't you think?
The light will always seep in. It will never hurt us. That's the thing. You know, people get like, oh, no, this is impossible. This is too much. This is, you know, like I can't even see the picture. It's so bright, you know, kind of thing. But that's the worst it gets.
Yeah.
You can't see in front of you. So what? Just like go and enjoy yourself in the moment. You know? That's zone zero. When it, you know, field zero. Contact.
Ground zero.
Square.
That's what you're trying to say. Well, so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about timelines. Do you see timelines when you channel? And if so, you know, what are they looking like? What are you perceiving? Where are we at on the timeline thing? You know, if there's multiple timelines still going on.
Yeah, I know. So there's this debate, or there are these people who say, well, we split timelines, and now they're going zigzag, and 1 minute we're in this timeline, and the next minute we're in that timeline. And I'm like, well, what are we talking about, logically speaking? We're talking about wavelengths, right? Wavelengths. So they're waves. They're waves. They're not just one thread. They're a bunch of threads vibrating, you know, like a drop and into the ocean, and then it makes ripples. All right, so all these ripples are like the timelines built into one another. And the thing is, we have grown up into the knowingness, the understanding, and the experience of oppositions, of two timelines going parallel or crisscrossing one another. Well, now our experience, our true experiences, to understand what balance is within those timelines, to understand that, you know, if you go to one extreme, then you'll have a harder time getting to the other. And we're kind of balancing ourselves into these, well, it's not, it doesn't become parallels anymore. It becomes like beams of energy where you have one end on one side of the tunnel and the other end of the other side of the tunnel, and we're just being rushed through the middle kind of thing. And sometimes we're being so rushed and we so want to go one way, we kind of bump ourselves on one edge. You know, we got to do things this way, and no, it's not going to be done that way, and I got to yell to make things happen, and da, da, da. And then the next minute, you know, we're being bumped on the opposite side where, oh my gosh, just let it go, just be free, just meditate, just zone out, you know. So we're going back and forth, but the reality is that we're being rushed forward. And all we need to do is relax and be smart, you know, be smart with ourselves and, like, gain momentum, understand the vision, understand the flow, and just go with it, and just go with it. And we'll be driven forward in that, like, force of creation that we're in. And that's the timeline that we're ultimately wanting. Now, the problem with that is that because there are these... There is basically no time, right? In like the observer point of view that I mentioned earlier, there is like time is you turn your eye one way, it will be 9:30. You turn your eye another way, it will be 12:40. You know, you turn your eye and you focus on whatever you want in the ultimate beingness, in the ultimate I, you can define whatever time you want to be in or see or experience. Right, that's the ultimate beingness, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we are gaining knowledge of that by starting to experience these moments within our reality. Like one moment we think of something, the next minute, bang, it happens. You know, we had to have it explained. Well, it's going to come out in the news, and someone's going to debate about it, and then my parent is going to come home and tell us about what they heard on the news, and, you know, all these in-betweens before we get the information. Well, that's no longer it. We can get the information as soon as it pops up into our scope of pure potentiality and our window of reality. And the only thing that separates us, like having a bad moment instead of having a good moment, is exactly that, the alignment and the momentum we have in that alignment, like the experience we choose to have, bang, in that moment. Because minute by minute, second to second, things are starting to manifest on their own.
True. And, you know, that really helped me when I talked to you that one time about choosing which timeline you want to reside in. It was very helpful. You know, do you want to be on the 5D timeline or you want to be on the 3D timeline?
Right, and there's the dimensional timeline, exactly, where you're actually talking about a grid. You were talking to me earlier saying, you know, people, when they look up in the sky these days, people some people can see the grid, the matrix.
Correct.
Okay, so some people can see those. And, you know, at that moment, they can see it. At that moment and at that state of consciousness and at that level of vibration, bang, they hit it. Now imagine if you were to sustain that level of what we call the timeline or the frequency, you know, if you were to sustain it, imagine how your life would be.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, you're right.
God, can you imagine, Julie? Jeez. That would be incredible. Well, you know,
I understand this is all way out there for lots of people, but to bring it back to a 3D perspective, all you have to, like, ask yourself, am I doing what I want in the moment? Am I doing right now what I would like to be doing? Am I happy with what I'm doing right now? If you're happy doing with what you're, you know, if you're happy with yourself in the moment, you're on the right track. You can say, yay, Astrid, you're on the right track. You know what? I'm on the right track. Because when I'm happy, I can attract happy moments. And, you know, the more I attract happy moments, the happier I'll get. Now, if you're not happy in the moment, then you have to reevaluate. And you have to immediately say, I want to be happy in the moment. What would make me happy right now? What would I like to be doing right now? And if you're not doing something that you'd like to be doing right now, and if you think it's something that you can't be doing because X, Y, Z, like I don't have enough money, or I'm not in the right situation, or I didn't have the right parents, or whatever, forget all these obstacles, right? Imagine that they're just like pebbles on the street. Walk over them and say, you know what? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to find a way to be happy in the moment. And you go and do something happy right now. And if you can't, still can't find the action to it, stop dead in your track and look around you. Look at what is happy outside. Like, you know, plants are happy. They're just being there. They're happy. You know, they're not crying or anything. They're happy. They're just there. So look at a rose. Look at a flower. Look at a painting. Look at your kids in a picture smiling at you. Pick up a tarot card. You know, do whatever. Just find a happy moment. And bang, the minute you have a happy moment, anchor it. That's the step two. Put it like in physicality. Attach it to your body. Pinpoint in your body, where does that make me happy right now? And put your finger or your hand or two fingers or your palm to exactly that spot in your body which anchors it. And that does what? You know, physically, scientifically, it hardwires, it wires together a thought and a chemical reaction. Like, for example, I feel happy in my chest. Boom, I hit my chest. What does it do? I think happy and I hit my chest. It has a direct connection. And now I have a language between my thoughts and my body. When you're unhappy, ask your body, where are you unhappy? What is hurting you? Where exactly is it hurting you? And pinpoint it. Pinpoint it and focus on that and alleviate that, release that part of your body.
So what you're also saying here is, first of all, we're increasing more communication with our body, you know, and also we're really, it just feels like we're more of a magnet than we ever have been. You know, is that what you see on the inner plane when you're giving people reading? It feels like the magnetism is so strong now. You know, if you put out something, it's just going to boomerang right back to you.
Right. And look at how many, going back to archaeology and those crop circles, where they are, etc. It's all about magnetism. It's all about magnetic locations on the Earth. Those are really coming out.
That's a good point.
And then all those light workers moving and wanting to be more in magnetic areas, they don't know where the hell they're going. But when they, you know, turn around and look, they find out that it's in a triangle, it's in a magnetic area, it's got, you know, something.
Right. Now, have you actually seen the old grid around the planet versus the so-called new one that has been created? Have you seen each of them in your mind's eye, or?
Like I said, I don't know what the old grid or the new grid is. I just look up at the sky and I see geometrical formations.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's new or old. What I have been noticing is more and more natural vortices being, like when you go into a forest. You know, I just didn't see them before, but now I'm seeing vortices through the branches, through the trees, as if, you know, there were like like I can see scenery through the vortices that I'm showing through the trees.
That's interesting. I feel like when I'm looking at the trees and things now, I feel like they're communicating with me a lot more. Like I can hear what they're saying almost, you know.
Oh, yeah. Spirits are insane these days. Some of them, like, you know, those what people call orbs, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, those are, not all of them, because certain orbs are different, but most of the orbs that are out there are little energetic particles. They're energy balls, if you will. Now, those energy balls serve souls that wish to communicate, which I call spirits. And these souls can be in present life, in past lives, in other dimensions, and it just depends on the ray of energy that is connecting. Okay, energy holding data, information. But anyway, these spirits use these energy balls to communicate, to, like, they will, and this, I believe, has already been actually videotaped, but you will have an orb landing on a person, videotaped, and that person seeing something through his kind of third eye, seeing an image and reporting that image back, whereas he wouldn't have seen it otherwise, kind of thing, you know?
Right, right.
So these energetic orbs serve as conducts to data, to information given through driven energy frequencies.
Oh, that's interesting. Almost like a two-way radio, but
yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's
like
really
with an
interesting.
Antenna.
Well, you know, you brought up nature and animals, and I was wondering, how are you seeing them affected by this incoming light energy, and what do you feel that we can do to assist the animal kingdom more so than we have in the past?
I know they're in trouble. I have recently seen a ton of animal spirits that I believe were held in the dimension of, like, the ghosts, you know, the animals that had maybe crossed over or hadn't quite crossed over. They're kind of in between. They still want to come down. They still want to be part of your environment to tell you that everything's okay, or they're locked and stuck kind of feeling, just like human spirits would be, you know. But there's like this, I see it like a thickness of vibration. It's like a radio wave of a certain dimension. And they are pushing through to their maximum these days. They are like hurdling us with their energies these days.
Wow.
I haven't heard many reports of the consequence of this yet. But, yeah, this summer we're definitely going to... We're definitely going to see the animal kingdom come back. And but on the other side, you know, I've been hearing news of monster animals coming to play in areas which we had kind of forgotten about, like in Russia, in the steppes of Russia. These huge mammoths have all of a sudden come back to life.
Yeah, they just captured a bizarro... God, it was, you know, what do you call those things that are really deep in the ocean? This thing was massive.
Right,
and
right.
It just washed.
Like the Loch Ness Monster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the bees from, you know, so they say they came from South Africa. I don't believe they came from South Africa, but, I mean, South America, but. These massive, massive bees are coming in. And then in Florida, these massive snails from Africa.
I saw that too. I just blogged it the other day. What do you think is the reason for the size, the increased size?
Oh, it's just what we've been doing to nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch it with that, because there are also... areas in the world that hold specific research centers which manipulate animals.
Correct.
And, you know, maybe humans, I don't know. But anyway, animals for sure. Animals and birds. And they have had escapees. They have, you know, I can't remember the name of the bat figure that goes around South America, but that is said to be have a high probability of being tied with a specific center in South America that went underground and, you know, biologically manipulated genetics of little chimpanzees, what do you call it, little monkeys and bats.
Yeah, and you know, whether they reported as an escape or not, they wouldn't even be doing this unless they had the purpose of eventually releasing them out into the world to begin with, you know?
Well, the thing is, I believe, you know, that the human race is one of the essays of a whole bunch of genetic manipulation.
Yes, absolutely. What do you see? What do you see in that? Tell me what you're seeing in that.
What do you mean? I just don't believe that we became human through the process of starting off as an ape without being genetically manipulated.
Well, yeah, and look at the difference between the Neanderthal and the Cro-Magnon. You know, look at the difference between us and they.
I see it from a soul perspective. It's like, it takes a soul to go through what we are going through, what we've been going through. I mean, we have really wanted to go to the depths of our insane abilities in all ways and forms, because to be this disconnected with our understanding of ourselves, it takes genetic manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to a dog, the dog understands what it is and what it's there, what it's here for.
Right.
You talk to a human, it does not.
I know, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell, isn't it? Oh, God. That's pretty scary. Well, how do you see the body reacting to all these changes? You know, and a lot of people are, I definitely know I felt the last incoming CME. You know, that solar flare was brutal on some of my prior injuries from an accident I had. And I was curious what you're seeing on that. You probably hear about that a lot.
I think that's the one, it's one of the biggest challenges we have is allowing ourselves to shapeshift and transform. And we're, you know, part of us is on this artificial, superficial mission to see how we can robotize ourselves, which is fine, but there's a whole other side of us that is on a mission to reconnect with our, you know, more divine gifts of shape-shifting and allowing form to be much more malleable and transformative at will.
Mm-hmm.
At will is the key, you know. And it doesn't matter what the rules and regulations of the so-called three-dimension are, because we've already proven that if you're crippled, we can make you whole again.
True.
And it doesn't take manipulation at the superficial level. It just takes will and trust in who you are, in your powers, in your ultimate, you know, reason to be.
I think some of the most advanced, spiritually gifted people I know, I think that's the number one thing we all want to see is physical manifestation, no matter what it is,
right.
whether it's to see an ascended master standing before them, or, you know, to generate a dollar bill in their hand. Or, you know, what have you. I mean, I can't even imagine, but it would be an incredibly awesome experience.
Manifesting, like, I don't know. If people have a tendency of running after money to manifest things, but Spirit says, well, what is it that you really want? If you want a carpet, ask for a carpet. If you want shelter, ask for shelter. If you want, you know, ask for what it is that you truly want. if you want cash, ask for cash, you know. And
yeah.
And don't be, you know, feel free to say, I want cash and I want it to use it in whatever way I can figure out how to use it once I get it, but that's what I want right now, I want cash. And, you know, so focalize, like, with steps to manifest, you need to be precise and honest with the energy that you put out there. You want to attract money? Fine. You want to attract shelter? Make it about the shelter. Make it about what's on over your roof, you know, make it about where it is, who you're with, that kind of thing. Like, go into details about what you wish to manifest. It will manifest much faster because people have a tendency of wanting money, but it's money for a lot of different things that they could have sooner than later.
Mm. And, of course, that's responding to the magnetism that we're going through right now as well. So the clearer we are, the faster we can manifest, correct?
Yeah.
Well, you know, shifting gears a little bit, Astrid, do you see a lot of future visions of where we're going?
Yeah, sometimes.
Have you seen anything regarding the continents of Atlantis and Lemuria? Do you see them actually rising?
They have risen.
They have risen. So on an etheric level, you're saying, right?
On a dimensional level.
On a dimensional level.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Remember, this is about the state of experience. Like, we can stay 3D and live the 3D experience, but we, you know, you and your listeners have risen already, have risen their states of consciousnesses to where certain aspects of the 3D will no longer be experienced. It's done.
Yeah.
You've gone through your hardship, you've gone through, you know, your training, you've accessed your understanding of who you are. Now you're on a mission to do what it is that you're about and to get it done and to spread the word kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So you've already risen to that state of consciousness. Now, to those who haven't, yeah, Lemuria and Atlantis, they're probably just as mythological as they were to us 100 years ago.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow, that's interesting. So how do you see, like, the financial system going right now, especially with your background in finance?
I know.
Well,
I haven't really caught up. Like, I'm not very, I didn't do my homework or anything about the financial system, but I do channel a lot about finances these days. And I'm really excited to see virtual finance come. Like, yeah, there's a whole side that, oh my gosh, you know, we're all going to be tattooed and, like, our wrists are going to be our next credit card kind of thing and whatever, you know.
I don't see that.
Well, they tried that 10 to 12 years ago in India. They did that. They put chips inside people's wrists and they scanned them and ID'd them and what have you, then tried it out and obviously found flaws in it because it didn't go any further.
Right.
So now they found tattoos. They found like chips that you can tattoo on, like they're temporary tattoos, and you can scan them the same way on your wrist, on your hand, whatever. And it's like, you know, your kind of temporary credit card, but God knows how long that's going to last before it's being hacked.
Well, I was going to say, they don't even have to go to a tattoo anymore. They just put out an article today about the smallest chip possible, and it's literally, it's so small that it's almost, you know, invisible to the eye. Why would they need a tattoo?
They had that article in I don't know if it was Newsweek or something like that. Like last year, early last year, they had this Japanese guy that had been producing these chips that were so tiny, you couldn't, I mean, they were like 1,000 chips to the breath kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, you could implant tracking devices on it, you could implant whatever you wanted in them. And nobody knew they were in the air, you would just swallow them and that's it, you're done.
Right.
Yeah,
that's getting a lot of publicity now.
Well they've been using that for things like that for in those in those warehouses where they don't want any strangers in. They've been having those things float around, and the minute they peg you onto your sleeve, you know, and you go outside the perimeter with it, then it causes like a warning signal or an alarm or some tracking device, and they'd know that you were inside the warehouse when you weren't supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. I used to be in that industry, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's really hard for me to believe. I used to be in the security industry and, you know, selling major access control time and attendance systems. And, and you know, Steve was the project manager installing these multi-million dollar systems. I mean, it's just amazing with what I stand for. I look back at what I was doing. But anyway, you know, I think we're going to be tying this up pretty soon, but I wanted to know, what would you recommend as, you know, some of your final words of encouragement for the audience today regarding the future of our world?
Oh, my God, be excited. Be excited. If you have an idea, please at least write it down and see how it connects and just go with it, you know, trust. Trust that your ideas and your excitement and your like triggers of joy are actually antennas to a greater experience of your own life, because those are your tentacles. Those are like the attraction points to outside people, outside events, outside anything that connects with you in those vibes. And so, you know, Jerry and Esther Hicks, I think, said it beautifully. Watch your emotional, like, temperature gauge. If you're excited, if you're happy, go with it. Just get that, because, okay, scientifically speaking, the brain waves measured in the 3D are lesser powered than the ones of your heart. Like, if you feel you have more 3D vibrational energy drive than you do if you just think. So use your thought to vision, to see outside, to see the horizon, to see the future, and engage your emotions to experience it. That would be it.
Yeah, correct. Well, and anybody who wants to contact Astrid, her name is Astrid Stromberg. You can go to her website at www.brilliantessence.com. And for more information on, you know, the incredible readings that she gives, she is just so, like, cuts to the chase, folks. I mean, if you need a kick in the butt, I'm talking from experience, she will really get the vision and the dream that you have on track and moving.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Esther, your momentum is probably one of the most incredible things, really. So did you have any other final thing you wanted to say before I let you go?
I think this is the time for everybody to get their butts off their ass and just get doing something, anything.
See what you mean? See what I mean?
Don't come to me if you're not expecting homework, because I'll find you homework to do.
Yeah, I know you will. Yes, we definitely know that about you, Astrid.
But next time, you know, you guys, you should call into the show, start asking questions. Alexandra's open. She's a good channeler, too, and she'll definitely have some insights for you. So grab yourselves a pen and paper and call in. I think you can call in. This is the number that I have, 530-413-9537. Call in to the next show and start asking your questions. We're interested in knowing, you know, what you have to say about all this, too.
Yeah, and also, Astrid was going to say, we should have you on again where we are just doing an open mic, you know, type of hour. So
yeah, absolutely. We'll
put that out there to the audience. And maybe what we can do is accumulate a bunch of questions if you know, there aren't that many callers, and just ask you, put you to task.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for your time, Astrid. We really appreciate your your capability just to see things on such a multidimensional level. I mean, I just love it. I really appreciate it. And I love you, and I thank you for coming on today, and I wish you all the best, and we will talk to you soon. Again, everybody, if you want to reach Astrid, you will go to www.brilliantessence.com. And you guys, everybody have a great day, and we will talk to you soon.